News just through to Stuart Troy-Vassallo's reported that I'm pulling up at Heat 1 this morning at the Warwick Farm Trials. Glenn Schofield has aggravated an old back injury and won't be riding for the remainder of the morning. He's going to get physio treatment for the injury, so he will be able to fulfil his engagements tomorrow at Royal Randwick. But unfortunately for Glenn, pulling up in the first trial today at Warwick Farm, aggravated an old back injury. And they can be an absolute killer, though. So good luck, Glenn. He's off to the physio to get put back together. Now, Simon Dinopoulos and Brad Gray join us. Morning, Simon. Morning, Brad.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we? Another big day of racing tomorrow. Good track. Randwick playing beautifully. It's not good news about Glenn, though. He's got a pretty good book of rides tomorrow. Having a look at them.
Yeah, he's got a good book. Hopefully he pulls up well from that back injury. How do you pull off after the weekend, Brad? I imagine you would have been swimming in Alizé after the win on the weekend.
Yeah, the back was okay, mate. The back was okay. We'll leave it there, though, won't we? I won't go into details as to what time I wandered through the door on Sunday morning.
You probably did it carrying the money. Now, the sixth is Champagne, one Encryption, $15, two Longleaf, eight. Three Outrageous, $5, four Ragged Rascal, 34, five Not a Single Cent is $5.50. Six, Irukandji is an $11 pop. Seven, Bondi, 11. Number eight, Severate, $23. Nine, Acadian, 14. Ten, Blazing Issue, 100. 11, Guria, 26. Number 12, Eldorado Dreaming, $9. And 13, Seabrook at $5.50. Favourite here, Just, is three Outrageous at $5.
Yeah, and he's been well supported by the punters, Outrageous. He opened $8 with Tab on Wednesday. He's now into $5, as you said. And the rest of the field has either eased or stayed the same throughout. Since Wednesday, when that market went up, he accounts for 37% of the book with Tab. So they'll certainly be pulling his tail. Not a single cent next best as far as the hold goes at 16%. But as far as the map goes here, Simon, there doesn't look to be a ton of speed. Who's our likely leaders?
Yeah, tricky race, the map. Generally, when you get these races and there doesn't look to be a designated leader on paper, they can overdo it. A lot of the connections will sit down, no doubt, tonight and have a look at the map, and as a result, could be really messy there tomorrow. I think Bondi, they'll want to utilise the inside draw, whether they want to lead. I think Irukandji, drawn a lot better on Saturday, they'll certainly be prominent with him. I think Severate and Encryption look to come across, and there's a few horses sort of in between those four horses there drawn. Just what they want to do, Not a Single Cent, Acadian, Eldorado, Dreaming. Probably won't want to get as far back as she did last start from the middle draw. Could posse up a bit closer, but yeah, speed map up in the air. I'd imagine they will roll along there.
Yeah, having a look at the record of size winners yesterday, I was having a bit of squiz into the Champagne. It's an outstanding record. The past 30 years, 21 have tried for 11 winners and a further 8 placing. So 19 of the 21 have finished in the first three. It's a pretty phenomenal record. Those that didn't both finished fifth. They were Peggy Jean in 2014 and Yosse in 2010. So history is certainly on the side of Eldorado Dreaming. All that said, I've got a second behind Not a Single Cent. We'll never know if he would have won the size, but there's no doubt he would have gone very, very close. He never got a crack at them in the straight and went to the line untested. The start prior to that, the Caulfield pattern certainly assisted him, but he won well enough in the end. He's a half-happy clapper, so it could be a big spring for the mare busking. Second Eldorado Dreaming for Benny Smith. Big price, of course, went around in the size. $151 was the Tab fixed odds price there. So that's obviously a bit of a sticking point, given the SP is a big part of doing the form. But you've got to be a little bit more lenient when it comes to the two-year-olds. Go back a couple of years and Yankee Rose actually won on debut at $51, and we know what Cher went on to do. So they can slip under the radar a little bit early in their careers, especially when they're having first crack at distances beyond the sprinting trips. On face value, though, she came from last. She beat a Hood, who had placed in the slipper and the diamond prior. And to give Jason Collett his maiden Group 1, he's certainly deserving of one. I've got Outrageous in for third. He's very good in restricted room in the size, which does look the right form race. This is Team Hawks, and we know that they've been eyeing off this race for him for a while now. He does look a ready-made miler, and they're very good at these grand finals, so his breeding certainly won't hold him back either. He's a half the Very Tempting, who won last year's WA Oaks over a mile and a half and then went on to run second in the WA Derby. So it does say that there is a pedigree, that staying pedigree there. There is a bit of a sense of timing about him, and I think we can forgive his BRC size failure. We didn't find that fast lane on the fence, which he spoke about a little bit earlier. Guria, throwing a bit of a wild card into fourth, thrown right in the deep end here, only won a Hawkesbury maiden on debut, but I did like the win. And this isn't really a vintage Champagne by any stretch, so it could measure up, and respect the fact that John Dubois is running him here at the stables in a good patch of form at the moment. I couldn't have Seabrook at $5.50. It's been a busy prep, and I thought she was only fair, albeit in limited room in the size. So the numbers for me, 5, 12, 3, and 11. So I'm in plenty of chances, though. Who did you land on?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Obviously, 9 of 13 come through the size. We saw there's only two lengths, the first seven across the line there. We had the big price winner and the big price third place getter in Outrageous, 60-1 and 80-1 on track. So when that sort of happens, it sort of screams look for different form. Just a bit of a messy race. And landed on Irukandji, and the form does tie in well through spin. Irukandji beat home spin in the stop of Essence, obviously by a length and a half there. And then spin wasn't beaten far in the size, just a 1.7 length. So the form ties in well. And just on watching the replays, his performance winning at Rose Hill, I know it's only a narrow win on paper, but look, Corey was forced to make two runs on this horse, which for a two-year-old, is not often you see. He was entitled to knock up in the straight. And just the way he stuck on, I think he's a very, very good horse. They've kept him fresh. They didn't go the size with him. They've held him back for the Champagne by done deal. He's certainly relished to step up to the mile there on the weekend. And he's drawn to get a far more economical run in transit. The map's up in the air, so just whether a few overdo it's the query. But from that draw, he lands in a good spot for Corey Brown. I just think he can take that next step. As mentioned, the size form looks really messy to me. He brings different form, and it does tie in well through spin. So I think he's going to be hard to beat. More than happy to back him each way. I think Outrageous, the stablemate, is the main danger. Come through the size off the big SP, and arguably should have finished a lot closer. He was the unlucky or the flashing light run in the race. Obviously, a complete forgive from the size, the VRC size, when the track was just against him there. And he put his best foot forward on over 1,400, and as Brad touched on, he'll relish to step up to the mile. Expect him to sell a bit closer to the speed there from the inside draw. He has been getting a long way back, but imagine they'll want to utilise that now getting out to the mile. Expect him to be right around the mark. So generally, when you see those unlucky runners, they do go around under the odds at their next start, and he looks to be filling that bill there tomorrow. But number 12, Eldorado Dreaming, seeing is believing, and take good out of the race. She won the size by over a length there, so you've got to respect it. It was her first start beyond 1,200 metres, and she exploded from a ratings perspective. So I know the big SP, I couldn't be backing her tomorrow, but certainly in the quarter, you've got to have her in the mix because she did beat them comfortably there. And number 13, Seabrook, I agree, Brad, had a busy prep, but just got to give her one more chance. But the fact she's drawn out on Saturday is a big tick for me. She was cluttered away on the inside in the size and just didn't suit. She sort of got blunted it at the sort of 200 when her hood came through. She caught the backwash of that. So I think you can forgive her run there, and she certainly brings the best piece of form out of the slipper. So give her one more chance. And Mick Price has always been bullish about it, about her as a filly in general. So I've got to keep her in the mix and just from that wide draw. But pretty keen on Irukandji. I think he either leads or sits just off and should be right in the finish. My numbers 6, 3, 12 and 13.
Race 7, the all-aged. One La Remain is $8.50. Number 2, Brave Smash, $6.50. 3, Hartnell, 9. 4, It's Somewhat, 26. 5, Clearly Innocent, 23. 6 is out. 7, Elastrama, 26. Number 8, Tom Melbourne, 10. 9, Santono Razan is 41. 10, Trapeze Artist, 225. 11, Showtime, 16. 12, The Mission, 23. And 13, Mirakeb, 23. But 225, short favourite, number 10, Trapeze Artist.
And Trapeze Artist opened $2.60 on Wednesday. Punters didn't take long to chime in there. A little bit of support for Brave Smash, $7 into $6.50, but there's some uncertainty other whether he'll run or not. The connections are kind of weighing up whether they run, want to run on a firm track. Tommy Melbourne is the other one the punters have nibbled, $11 into $10. There's still a few believers out there. But as far as the tab hold goes, 38% of the book is for Trapeze Artist. And not surprisingly, there's a few shrewd punters out there. The place market is led by Tom Melbourne, 32%. So the $2.80 is popular. As far as the map goes there, I guess the big query is where Trapeze Artist lands, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, when he's seen him at his best, is when he's been able to travel wide in the races and not sort of cluttered up on the inside. So I'd imagine they'll let Showtime cross. They won't want to get into a bumping tour with him early. I think Tom Melbourne kicks up and holds spot from the inside. La Remain, I'd imagine now, after 14, he's third up, he's fit. They press forward with him in this race last year, and imagine they adopt similar tactics from that wide draw. But I think Showtime, they'll want to press the button with him. He rolls forward. La Remain comes across. I think Trapeze Artist sits out, and then you've got Tom Melbourne from the inside. It's somewhat, possibly could kick up, but not sure what they do with Hartnell. He was a big question mark for me from the map perspective, whether they go back or they press forward with him as well. But Showtime looks your designated leader, and Trapeze Artist probably tags, but they'll want to sit off the fence for sure.
Yeah, Hartnell was an interesting one. I had him going back, but it will be interesting to see what they do tactics-wise. Trapezo, he cops a little bit of a bad rap for being inconsistent, but it's not really warranted, I don't think, when you look through his form, especially this time in. Four of his five wins have been at double-figure odds, which does explain a little bit why the punters think there's two of him. But as I say, this time in, his form's been very true. He won the Expressway first up, really impressively from the front, even though he's probably a better horse, ridden with a bit of cover. Then he ran fourth in the Hobartville and third in the Randwick Guineas. Now, it's a really strong crop of three-year-olds, as we've seen, through the likes of Kementari against the older horses, and the same can be said for D'Argento after his enormous run in the Doncaster. The three-year-olds have won three of the past six editions of the All Age Atlantic Jewel, All Too Hard in English, and it goes without saying that Trafitas, he was outstanding in the TJ Smith. He beat the country's benchmark sprinter at the moment going around in Red Cell, going to a big new peak there. And Gerald Ryan has since said that was just a bonus on the way through, pretty much, with the All Age was always his goal off that little freshen. So it's great to see the owners keep him in training too. Reportedly, a $40 million carrot was there to retire him to stud. So I can imagine how tempting that'd be. But hopefully they are rewarded, and we see him in an Everest in 6 months' time. But for me, he just has to hold his form to win, hence why he's the favourite, and I think a deserved one. I've got another three-year-old in the second. I think he'll run really well at good odds, and that's the Mission. He was very good in the Galaxy. Only English ran fastest splits home before he hit the line again in the TJ Smith. That looks a really key reference as far as this race goes. I was expecting to see last week in the Arrow Field, but here he is. So Paul Perry is obviously very happy with him. Out to 1,400 metres does look to suit now, and I'm hoping he can be a little bit closer from Barrier 3. He's got the booking of a really strong, aggressive rider in Brenton Abdullah there off a hat-trick at Wyong yesterday. So he's in form, and I think he might do the trick as far as getting his horse to sit a little bit closer. Tom Melbourne goes in for third. Connections rolled the dice in the Doncaster. They rolled forward. They sat outside the leader, but as we've seen from him in the past, when he's exposed, he gets a little bit keen when he sees that clear air. So that certainly won't be the case here. He'll be covered up to get a cosy run, and I reckon the tactics will be just to cuddle him up for as long as possible and let him spear through late. And I've got another three-year-old in for fourth. So they're going to be prominent, I think. Showtime, the likely leader, as Simon touched on. I think he can give a sight. He's second at Trapeze Artist, first up in the Expressway. He's a good reference for this. He was only beaten 1.25 there, and then he ran a brave third to Brave Smash in the Futurity at the 1,400 metres. So he tried hard in the Arrowfield last week on the quick backup, but I don't mind either. Lure Remains, the other one trending the right way, but I couldn't fit him into my numbers, which are 10 Trapeze Artists from 12, 8 and 11. Are you with him or against him, Simon?
Yeah, got to be with him. Brad, agree with you. He's sort of been a bit harsh on old Trapeze Artists. Obviously, he's been on the wrong side of punters majority of his career, and as a result, I wouldn't say he's a hated horse, but he hasn't won when people have wanted him to. But when you look at his record, he's won 5 of 13. He obviously spaced him in a Black Opal. He ran third in a size. He won a Golden Rose by 4.5 lengths. He ran third in the Randwick Guineas, and then he won a TJ by 2 lengths. And he dead set toyed with Redell. He's an absolute superstar, Trapeze Artist, and if he runs up to that form on the weekend, he'll be winning. It's as simple as that. From a market perspective, very interested to see what price he starts there tomorrow. At around, I'd imagine 250 is probably the best price they'll bet. I can't see him betting much better than that. And I'd imagine a few of the big syndicates could have him marked odds on in this race off the back of his last start performance. Just hard to see anything that finished behind him turning the tables. They'll want to keep him wide from that draw. I love the fact he has drawn there. He's going to be really hard to beat. I think if he holds his form, he'll be winning. Number two, Brave Smash. Just got to forgive a good horse one bad run there. Obviously, safely held behind Trapeze Artist in the TJ. But his form prior was very good. And I think back out to 1,400 is a big tick for me. Number one, La Remain. He's tracking along well this time in. He should be nearing his peak third up. Hoping they press the button from that wide draw and come across. He was only narrowly beaten in this race last year. Expect him to run well. Number eight, Tom Melbourne. He's never fired at weight for age before, but look, he is racing in good form this time in, and he gets that nice smother from the inside draw, which Brad touched on. So I do respect him, but he's certainly no good thing to place, which is what a lot of people are suggesting there tomorrow. But he'll run well, Tom, but all over Trapeze Artist. He's the real deal, and I think he'll be winning tomorrow. My number's 10, 2, 1 and 8.
All right, now the eighth event. One I beat some is $4.20, 2 Venga Mask, 26, 3 Singing is out. 4 Tally 18, 5 McCreary 9.50, number 6 Interlocutor, $7, 7 Morris, $10, number 8 Montauk 19, 9 Radipole, $6.50, 10 Cool Chap, $7.50, 11 Almost Caught, $14, number 12 Lapari is $51, 13 More Energy, $81, 14 Rising Red, $19, 15 The Pinnacle, $8.50, and 16 The Toy at $10. Favourite here, the Toppy, I beat him at $4.20.
Yeah, and it seems to be a theme of the day that the punters are chiming into those at the pointy end of the market. I beat them $4.60 into $4.20 with Tab. A bit of a nibble there for Rising Red at longer odds, $26 into $19 for Busseton and Young. And the one that's been back this morning, guys, is the Pinnacle. Got to start, last start opponent winner, it's got to start with Singing Scratch. And the punters chimed in straight away, $10 into $8.50 today after opening $11 on Wednesday. So we know who will be leading this, Simon. I beat them, but will any horses be making it hard for him?
Yeah, that's the query, isn't it? How much pressure he has to withstand from the front there. Imagine almost caught. They'll certainly come across and tag, beat him in the running. I think Ratapole up in trip, he's drawn wide. He should press forward from that draw. And Cool Chap and Interlocutor, both now stepping up in trip with Singing coming out. They look to control the speed from the inside there. So I beat them. Probably has to do a bit of work to get across if Cool Chap and Interlocutor kick up. But in terms of pressure, I think almost caught. Possibly the only horse that'll pressure him in the lead.
Yeah, he's easy enough to find off that brave third and the Doncaster Mile, but Tab is still letting you on, $4.20. I think that's a fair enough quote. I've got him on top. He goes from the bottom of the weight to the Doncaster, where he carried 51, to the top here carrying 58. He certainly drops back a couple of cogs in grade, back out to his pet trip of 2,000 metres. And although the Doncaster form generally doesn't need franking, it's certainly worth mentioning that Happy Clapper and Coming Through, who was second in the race, have both run really well in the QE, Queen Elizabeth behind Wink. Since you know exactly what you'll get from this horse, Adam Hieronymus Theory knows the horse particularly well. He'll work across from the wide draw, put the pedal to the metal at about the 800 or the 600, and as they enter the straight and give them something to catch. I like the fact that he's drawn wide there too, because he can just build his momentum. He's a momentum horse, as we know by now. He's rock hard fit, and it'll be catch me if you can, and I don't think they'll be able to. He does meet a couple of his key rivals worse at the weight, so I think he can overcome that. One of those is Cool Chap, gets a 2.5 kilo weight swing from the Doncaster, and he was beaten less than a length there. So it looks like he's been trained more of a middle distance horse this time in and keep a bit of sharpness in his legs. 2,000 metres does look to suit now. Prior to the Doncaster, he was only beaten by Humidor in the Blamey. He's racing as well as ever and shouldn't have any excuses here. He's certainly a key danger. Another is probably Morris. You've got to expect him. He meets Beetson better at the weight for his half-length defeat in the Neville Selwood. We haven't seen him since. I kind of like him on that little bit of the fresh side, and he's a bit hard to catch as far as his wins go. It's been nearly 2 years since his last, but he does run well when he gets out to this distant range around 2,000 metres. Interlocutor for fourth, didn't have much room in the Doncaster Prelude. You wouldn't have won anyway, but certainly would have finished much closer. 3 weeks between run suits, another horse that races better on the fresh side. I guess there's a little bit of a query over a genuine 2,000-metre trip, which I beat him will make this, but he does fit into the race well class-wise. Could also make a little case for Almost Caught. I'd include it in the multiples, but it didn't make the numbers. The numbers are I beat him on top, 1 from 10, 7 and 6. How did you rate I beat him chances here, Simon?
Yeah, certainly got him in the mix. Just obviously, he's been penalised pretty heavily for his performance in the Doncaster, and I think he's one of the leading chances. He'll be out in front. Certainly got him in the quaddy. I've got him into fourth. I've got Ratapole on top. I'm leaning towards the horses stepping up in trip there tomorrow, as opposed to the horses that have already had that start over the 2,000 metres. I think Ratapole sets up well. He comes out of the right form races, and he appears set to relish to step up to 2,000. He's had the perfect platform. He was only narrowly beaten behind Coming Through two back in the Ajax. Obviously, Coming Through, as Brad touched on, ran very well in the Donny End behind Winks in the QE. And then I thought he was good behind Stellarman, not being far there in the Doncaster Prelude. He comes across from that draw for Kieran McAvoy. I think he gets into a nice spot just behind the leading duo there. I think he only runs well. Number six, Interlocutor. I think he's been fair in his two runs back this time in. Did have excuses in the Doncaster Prelude. Third up, he's unbeaten from two attempts, and he's a flyer at Randwick. He's won two or four at the track. He should appreciate the step up in trip. I think he'll get the 2,000. I don't think there's a concern with him running it out there tomorrow. He gets a nice cushy run from the inside draw there for Ty Angle, and he knows the horse well. And number one, number 10, Cool Chap in for third. He's also tracking along well. He surprised me how well he ran in the Doncaster. Confirmed his level of performance from the Blamey behind Humidor, only beaten half a length there, and then beaten 3 lengths in the Doncaster. He's placed in 5 of 6 over this trip. He's touted as a bit of a non-winner, only the 4 from 28. He's a bit of a thinker, Cool Chap, but he's back in great form this time in, and Damien Oliver, a key booking there for him tomorrow. And number one, beats him. You know what you get with him. He'll be out in front. Just whether he can hold off these horses rising in the weight there tomorrow, but He's flying this time in for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott stable, and he'll be in it for a long way. But lean the way of Radipole, I think he gets the right run from that draw. My number's 9, 6, 10 and 1.
Righto, race 9, 1 Shiraz, 26. Now 2 Moher is 26, number 3 Snippets Land 17, 4 Savopinski 11. Number 5 New Tipperary 18, 6 House Century 61, 7 Osborne Bulls 230. Number 8 Black on Gold 13, 9 Harper's Choice 13. 10 Sir Bacchus, $17, 11 Special Missile, $8.50, 12 Collateral, $41, 13 Miss Universe, $9, and 14 Tribal Wisdom, $8.50. Favourite at $2.30, 7 Osborne Bulls.
Yeah, he's been popular too, because he's the type of horse, Osborne Bulls, that I think whatever price Tab would have put up, the punters would have come. They just love him. $2.50 they opened on Wednesday into $2.30. The only runner that's been backed outside of that is Special Missile. They opened up $11, which is probably a little bit of overs now into $8.50 now. Simon, I reckon Osborne Bulls, he's going to have the weight of the Randwick Grandstand on his shoulders come Saturday. He's a really popular horse. How does he map? Does he get the run of the race?
Yeah, I think he gets into the good spot, and I agree. The punters, I think, it's sort of, they love him. He's been the get-out stakes horse twice this time in. He's won both occasions. So certainly got to be with him on the weekend. I think he does get into a good spot. Savopinski kicks up, and Moher, I think they can kick up from the inside. But I think Special Missile will take up the running there tomorrow and look to control from the front. Shiraz, Tribal Wisdom, they can possibly kick up. I think Osborne Bulls lands into a pretty good spot midfield, probably just one off the fence, and looks to get the right run. Special Missile, he got the race run to suit last start, Osborne Bulls. Hopefully Special Missile does set a decent tempo out in front. If that's the case, it should give him every chance to work home into the finish.
Yeah, I like what I hear there for a Special Missile. I think I'm going to be in a very small minority here, not tipping Osborne Bulls on top. At the odds, I'm with Special Missile. I think he can turn the tables on the last start clash. I know Osborne Bulls beat him fair and square there at Rose Hill, but Special Missile was only second up, so he has the most improvement of the two. He gets a little bit of a weight relief kilo. But most significantly, though, I think is the fact that Special Missile's wins, all five of them, have come when he's either dictated from the front or been able to pinch a break on his rivals at the top of the straight. So he didn't really get that chance last start, with a few runners pushing up inside of him early. That should change here. Savopinski does look the only natural leader for me. There is a bit of respect for Moher there, as you touched on, Simon. But I've got him leading this. He's $2.70 a hole compared to Osborne Bulls, $2.30 to a win. So there is a bit of appeal there. Have to respect Osborne Bulls, though. He's been beautifully placed yet again by James Cummings. As you said, both wins this time in the last race of the day. So he's going to be a popular horse for punters. Regardless, $2.30 might even trim up a little bit from that quote. He's won 6 from 8. He was luckless at Canberra, while the other defeat in his career was only half a length behind Invincibella, and they panelled the rest of the field there. He'll be charging home with Abdullah in the saddle. He's probably earned his crack, earned his stripes in terms of having a go in black type now, so this might be the final one on the way through if he can pick it up. Shiraz, in for third, wasn't really flashing the Doncaster prelude, but he was only beaten 3 lengths in the end, and I did like his first up run prior to that in the Newcastle Newmarket, so we'll forgive him that last up blemish. He should get the run of the race from a cosy gate and have his chance. Sir Bacchus in for fourth. Haven't seen him for a while, but he can show up fresh. Won really quiet trial. He's a capable horse on his day. He can be a little bit hit and miss and do things wrong, but he can run big closing splits when he's on. So keep him safe as far as the trifectas and first fours go. I think the other runner to keep an eye on here is Our Century. Now with Kim Waugh, $61, big odds. This is probably going to be a little bit too sharp, but ex-Lloyd horse, now with Kim Waugh at Wyong, and a couple of nice trials. I think he's one to keep an eye on, maybe start 2 or 3 once he gets out in trip. But for me, I'm with Special Missile. 11, 7, 1 and 10 are the numbers. Are you with the Raging Bull, Simon?
I am. I'm a big fan of him. He's helped me out this campaign, Osborne Bull, so got to stick with him. I think we will get better than 2.30, though, I think. Agree with Brad. I think they'll back a few to beat him there on the weekend. I know he's the punter's favourite, Osborne Bulls, but I imagine we will get around that 250 mark on track there, especially if we get a few on-pace runners winning on the day, which you imagine you would with a firm track. Special Missile probably firms up again coming into the race, as it does look the likely leader, and do respect him, but it's just hard to tip away for him, Osborne Bulls. He got out to 1,400 metres for the first time last start, and he exploded. He returned a new career peak, and the clock backed up the strength of his performance. Counting on Special Missile to set a decent tempo out in front, he will need that genuine tempo to bring him into the race. But look, Brendan Abdullah knows him well. He's won 4 of 6. He's won 6 of 8. And wouldn't be surprised to see him head to Brisbane with him after the weekend, or get that crack at Blacktop if they do keep him in Sydney. But he's racing in great form, expecting to be very hard to beat. I think the main danger is Tribal Wisdom. You watch your replays and it's hard to really see him turning the tables on Osborne Bulls, but gets a nice little weight swing there, and he's drawn a lot better tomorrow. He's been drawn wide and had to go back, but from that inside draw, imagine he settles a bit closer to the speed there tomorrow. Kieran McAvoy legs aboard. He certainly rates well in his best form, so certainly have trouble with him in the mix. Agree, Special Missile, he's at his best when able to dictate in front, and he looks to get that tomorrow. He can only run well racing third up. He was well backed first up, and then it was a big SP last start, but he ran really well behind Osborne Bulls. I think he can only springboard off that there tomorrow. And number nine, Harper's Choice. Got to keep him safe. First up as a gelding for Gerald Ryan, who I think the stable is sneaky flying at the moment, and his recent trial was very, very good. He's run well at weight for age first up previously, and on his best form, he's thrown in at the weight. So certainly keep Harper's Choice safe. But keen on Osborne Bulls. I think we will get better tomorrow, though. My number's 7, 14, 11 and 9.
All right. Now, good things. Brad, what do you like?
Yes. As far as good things go, I think the most confidence you can take into the race is Trapeze Artist. I think you'll be winning your age. But outside of that, something a little bit earlier, Problem Solver. Really consistent filly for Gerald Ryan. I think it'll be a big day for Gerald Ryan stable in race 5. Probably needs to start turning those seconds into wins, but I think she's found the race to do that.
All righty. Simon, what about you?
I never thought I'd say it, but look, Joss Raki is one of the best weighted horses I've seen in some time in the hallmark, and I know he's a non-winner, but he is flying. I just can't see him running a bad race in that race. I think Irukandji in the sires, certainly going to be hard to beat. Happy to back him each way and come home with Osborne Bulls in the last. If we're in trouble, hopefully he'll be able to get us out of it. But they're the two. But yeah, Joss Raki, I know, a bit crazy, but look, he's so well placed there tomorrow and he's flying. So I think he's one of the better bets of the day.
All right, terrific. Good on you, Simon. Brad, have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You too, Cozzy.